Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 107 of the Pico Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we're going to be talking about the Creation Catalyst, which comes out on Tuesday. So for those of us that maybe haven't finished our tier sets yet, that's going to be a great system. We're going to talk about ways that you can use that for your main to clean up maybe some LFR pieces that you're wearing to complete your four set, as well as what that means for your alts and getting tier for those, and maybe like some good ways for you to prep your alts to take advantage of that.
Yep.
But before we get into that, we've of course got hotfixes to go through. And before we get into that, Anomaly, how is progression going?
Progression. It's going. We got Pantheon down this week. So that was a good. I hate that fight. I think it's
really.
I
remember talking about this around Kael'thas. You don't like healing NPCs.
I don't like healing NPCs. I think that's one part of it. I think the second part with Pantheon is that it's literal mechanic vomit. There's just things happening all the time, but like the things don't make sense, or like they don't tick and tie. Like you, like phase two in general, I think is just an awful phase because you have the stampeding things along with a pull in, along with having to run and spread out. And like, it's a cluster of just 300 different things happening at once. Yeah. And then you have to heal NPCs, and the NPCs are like at set positions, which is cool, but they're at set positions on other sides of the map. So it's just
they removed the ability to auto mark them, apparently. Yes. Or the big wigs auto marker broke, one of the two. So we couldn't auto mark them. That was fun. We went in because on heroic, we've been auto marking. I guess it broke sometime before we pulled mythic, and we just didn't notice because it didn't matter. Yeah. They just thought I had like turned off the setting or whatever. So we get to mythic, and they're like, why aren't they being marked? We had like said we were going to heal this one, and it's like, there's no marker.
Way to go. Yeah. So, I mean, it's also like our healing comps. We ran four healers on the fight, and it was like myself, a paladin, and then two like holy priests. And like, I couldn't heal two of the four like seeds because of the way we positioned the bosses. Boss range.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just not fun. And the other part of it is like with the health change, which is good for us, but I think it just, the 40% means you literally have like one set of mechanics for each mob in phase three. So really it's like, if you get through phase two with say, 19 of 20 people or like limited number of deaths, the boss essentially falls over doing only like one set of mechanics.
Yeah. We actually managed to wipe in phase three this week.
Oh really?
Because we didn't do kicks well. We missed so many kicks. And it just murders people when you miss kicks. It's pretty bad. But yeah, I agree with a lot of what you say about that fight. Like, it's a fine fight. It's actually kind of relaxing to tank after the first four that you do that have much higher tank requirements. This one, like, you literally stand at the same spot for the entire fight and you don't point the frontal at the raid.
It's easy. That's
really it. There's not a whole lot else going on. You do have to get kicks and things, and there's the thing that can happen where you can have a stampede come from right behind you where you're tanking and you have to like move. But 90% of pulls that doesn't happen, and the 10% of pulls that does happen, you just like move clockwise 45 degrees and you're fine.
The winds are like the tornadoes are just also weird.
Yes, I hate those. So we actually this week, so we killed this last Sunday.
Nice.
At like the end of raid. And then we had enough time to go and like waste some time on Heroic Zoval, which is another bad fight. I don't like it.
I hate line of sight, so I'm not going to enjoy that one.
It's boring. At least on Heroic. I'm sure on Mythic it's going to be more interesting. There's more stuff going on. But on Heroic, it's just boring.
Yeah. Which is apropos to the other boss, I guess, you're progressing on, and we progress on, which is Lehuvim, which is, like, extremely boring on Norman or Heroic. I actually really like the fight on Mythic.
Okay.
Like, really like it. Because we spent about half the rate or no, three quarters of our raid night Thursday working out to like 3 hours. And that fight is, I really enjoy the dance. Like it's very set in stone. It's very like mechanical, but like if you mess up one of those mechanics, it's not a immediate wipe. Well, there's certain ones like if you don't do enough DPS to the ad, you don't kill the one you're supposed to kill. That's an issue. Yeah. But like the motes, if you drop them in a bad spot or you trigger one of them, you can still kind of maneuver around them, right? So it's not an immediate wipe. But yeah, that fight is like the dance is cool. The in and out push pull grouping stuff is fun. So I don't know. I had a blast for like our 3 hours we did that was so much fun though. So.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot better on Mythic. And so we spent about an hour on it at this point. We had about an hour on it on Friday. We didn't spend any time on it last week because we went to Heroic Jailer.
Yeah.
And are basically like figuring out the damage requirements on that first burn where you like split up and you have two groups, yeah. Or at least there's two different strats for doing it now. I think one of them, everybody goes to the same thing every time. There's no splits. And then the other one is that you split on the first set. I think there's actually a third strat where you split on the first and second. On the second one, you commit bloodlust to get it.
Interesting. We're just splitting on the first one and then
we're doing the same
thing. Rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you three healing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The solo healer side sucks, by the way. Like to the point where like because that's the side I'm healing. If I miss, if I cast on the wrong person, someone dies. Like, and it's not like, if I miss it, like if I make the first cast, it's like if I cast a spell and it's like a minute, or it's like about 2 second cast. If I make it on the wrong person, the entire side dies because I can't cancel that cast. So I need to go off. I need to have picked the right person that's going to take enough damage over the next 2 seconds to actually need the heal. It's super fun, but it's also that point where you're just like, I'm literally watching one of my mages die. It's like, I'm not going to be able to save them.
Yeah.
So
that's that's fun.
It's at least the split side's fun. So yeah, the solo side's always fun.
But yeah, so we've figured that out. We are learning the dance, and we actually had a pretty, like, we ended our raid on Friday with a pretty good pull. We got about 4 minutes into the fight and then had things go completely off the rails because things just got missed. But yeah, it's very one-shotty fight is the other thing. There's a lot of like, oops, the raid's dead going on.
Yeah.
You know,
particularly with the push pull with the shifts, right? Like that's where you're going to lose, I think, most people. So
yeah, and the thing where like you need to have enough, you need to have like people stack with the opposite color, right?
Yeah,
but then there's not a good way of like assigning people that's going to be reliable.
There's a weak aura.
We have that weak aura, but what happened to us? We had half of our pulls on Friday that actually got to that point. But half of our polls, we just had two groups that had all of one color on each of them. And we had to change in the middle of the poll. And I was like, you go here, you go there. And it's significantly.
So what we did, and I think what our raid leader did is that in each group, there's one person that is essentially is like a trusted mechanic person. And so like they're the two that swap if needed. So like each group basically has like, they're a person where you stack and that's the lead, but then you have like the swap person.
That may have been the mistake on our part because that's our marked target for the stacks is the trusted mechanical person. So they can't exactly switch. So maybe that was just an assignment error. Maybe the mechanical people need to not be the marked ones.
Yeah. And that's, and then like basically going like, cause pretty much after the first set comes out, like, so our raid leader basically called so-and-so swap. So like I would swap in one group, go to the other one. And then like, you'd look at the marker and then all of us had like the assignments weak aura. So you could see like the group that was all blue or the group that was all yellow. Do you know where you were maybe needing to swap? But yeah, that's, if you don't get the swaps right, like the groups right, it's sort of annoying. But yeah, the fight's fun. Lots of like micro like efficiency things you can do, like our melee stack and like a diamond pattern, because we do the dropping motes. We just drop melee motes near the boss, and then range sort of put them wherever they want as long as they're far away. Yeah. And so like the bombs only have to clear like two smaller stacks instead of trying to do like the whole raid.
Yeah.
In like a configuration for moats.
We were initially going to do that, and then we had a bunch of people be like, I think that sounds risky, and we're going to wipe, you know, 9 minutes into the fight and then have to learn honeycombs anyway. Yeah. And there were enough people that were concerned about that. They were like, okay, we'll do the honeycombs, which is where, for people that aren't familiar with it, you have like a center. You have two people that are like the centers of two honeycombs. And then there are six people arranged in a hexagon around them that all drop overlapping moats. And then with the bombs, what you do is you take your bomb, you go stand next to the center one, and you can hit all seven. So you clear 14 out of 18 moats on every set, which is, I think, actually the most that you can do. I don't think there's any realistic way to clear all 18.
Yeah, I don't think.
So those last four just like take theirs wherever out of the raid. Yeah, like you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did the whole just keep them in melee, and then we fill up certain sections of the room as we move around. So yeah, we were consistently making it to, I think it's either the second or the third intermission where you have the double packs of mobs that come in.
Yeah, the double degens. I think that's the second one.
Yeah. And so that's where we were falling apart, just because then as those die, moats drop on people, and like we weren't getting the moats out right. And so we're messing with like how to do positioning and where to actually put those moats. So
that's where
we're basically at.
Yeah. So those moats you don't get to clear either. So that's a challenge as well. So yeah, we were actually running into issues with people. Like they were doing a lot better at this than they were on heroic. They were hitting the degens too soon. Or, you know, not getting close enough in. And we don't have a blood decay on this fight. So there's no, like, mass gripping the degens. So people really need to actually be diligent about getting underneath the boss and fucking standing there.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things for tonight, I think, is going to be, like, get underneath the boss and you stand there so that we can get a leg sweep off on all of the degens.
Yeah, and get them all in. Yeah, and then I don't know if you're doing it, but we changed our gating. So we used to gate from the add to the center to get there quicker. And what we changed was we're now gating from the center to where we're dropping moats. So like we basically roar from that add we kill to get under the boss and then use the gate to get out quick as moats start coming out.
Yeah, we have a roar to get towards the boss, I think. And then we have a gate to get back. I'm not sure actually where our gate's going. There's a gate that the people doing the split use to get to their
side. Yeah, so that's one of our two that we'll basically gate the split. But then we have our warlock after we come back from that split and are in the center again before we start shifting the boss closer to that ad we kill. We have them drop the gate from the center towards the entrance, which is where we sort of been stacking moats. From those things. So like I said, there's like a bunch of different like micro thing, like efficiency things you can do in the fight. I think it's a lot better on mythic than it is.
Yeah.
I just remember like heroic week, we went in with like 30 people or probably like 28 people, and like five healing and everything. And it wasn't a very intensive healing up until that point on any boss, but you had stuff to heal. That boss, I think every healer was under 5k HPS. Like,
yeah.
The boss just did no damage.
Nothing
to
heal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is significantly better on mythic, I think. Yeah, that's true. So one last thing I want to touch on progression. So we have one paladin in our raid. That paladin is out tonight, next Friday, and maybe next Sunday, which means that if we kill Halon or kill Liavim tonight, which is reasonably likely, we've got 4 hours to spend on it.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be looking at progressing Halondris without a paladin.
Shouldn't be too bad.
So I am preparing to play protection paladin on Halondris, which is going to be interesting. And it's actually more than preparing to play protection paladin. I'm preparing to play Necrolord protection paladin.
Oh, okay.
Because what it does is it basically makes some of your wogs, like every 30 seconds, you get two wogs that also grant Shield of the Righteous. So basically every 30 seconds, you get two free wogs. You kind of sort of have to pay for them. Like you have to have the resources to pay for what would be a Shield of the Righteous, but you push a wog instead and you get your Shield of the Righteous for free, which just lets you wog other people a bunch more.
Yeah.
So that means the reason I'm doing that is specifically for actually the second intermission, which is pretty healing intensive. So I'm going to be able to stack up like 4 or 6 free wogs for that, plus whatever divine, whatever it's called, favor procs that I get. And just like go nuts on,
that'll be
on
awesome. The healing.
So yeah, that's going to be fun. I've been I've played Protection Paladin for like one progression boss every tier, except for, well, like I did it in BOD. Yeah. I tried to do it in Ulir and didn't get to. There was nothing that made sense for in Eternal Palace, and I didn't even try in Nylothic because corruption. And then I did it on Kael'thas in Castle Nathria because
Hand of
the Protector was very silly on that boss. Like I would come out of the first phase and be doubling the next healer's healing to Kael'thas. Yeah. It was super dumb. And then I don't think I actually did one in Sanctum. I don't think I played Paladin on anything for Sanctum progression. There just wasn't anything that you needed it for. And then now potentially Holandris, which is the most significant progression boss I will have played it on. That ends up being what I do. Because Holandris is like the second most time intensive boss as far as progression this tier. It's like that. And then the Jailer are the top two. And then Anduin is like third/second. Like some people will take as much time on Anduin as Holandris, but Holandris is definitely the bigger wall. But that gives us a Devo aura as well.
Good for like missiles and stuff like that.
So
nice. That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah. We'll
do it.
Hopefully get to see Holandris next week. We'll see. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be an interesting fight.
Yeah. Lyavum is one of those things where like we could go in tonight and finish it up in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or it could take us all night. Right. Or
exactly. Even,
like there's a small chance that we don't kill it, but it's really like once you get to the point that you've learned how to do the push pull and you've learned how to do your honeycombs.
Yeah.
The whole fight is just doing those over and over and over and over and over.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So as long as you can just do those two mechanics on repeat for 10 minutes, you can kill the boss. So if we've got those under control and we actually are able to execute those on repeat for 10 minutes, we could be through that pretty quickly, or we could not be through that until the end of the night and not really get to spend a lot of time on the lunges.
Exactly. No, that'll be good. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you guys sort of crush it and get a couple hours in Holandris this week, which will be nice. Set you up for next week for sure. So
yeah. I'm a little bit annoyed with our raid. And this is a good kind of annoyed. But so last year I had more time to do other things because I wasn't having to spend as much time on prep because we were killing bosses more slowly.
Yeah.
This tier we're going faster, and it means that every week I'm like, okay, I have to get prep done for this new boss now.
Yeah, for the next one, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a good problem to have, but it has meant that like there was a patch for Total Warhammer 3 that came out on Tuesday.
Yeah. That
I have spent a total of like 1 hour with.
Because you really want to play some more.
I had to do Lyavum stuff, and then I had to start doing stuff for Holandris. And
Oh man, boo hoo. Too fast on the progression side.
Yeah.
Feel so bad for you.
Moving right along, we've got a number of hot fixes and other news items out of the way. You want to get through a couple of the quick ones first?
Yeah. Just a couple of quick ones. So first one is Jeff Hamilton, who was a senior game designer at Blizzard, is leaving. I don't think he announced where he was headed yet, but moving on. You might remember Jeff as one of the leads. He's a senior dev, but he sort of worked on a bunch of different systems over the past couple of years. Azerite, Shards Domination, and some interesting trinkets like QED and the pocket size computation device, aka Cyclotronic. He is moving on. Made a big post, sort of also posted some of the stuff that he had his hands in terms of maybe some actual direction. Sucks to see another senior dev go, just in terms of like cohesiveness in that team. But
yeah,
but we'll see.
Brain drain over the past year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like him. It's a couple other folks that left earlier in the year, like Lore, or just left Jeff Allen. What's his name? Allen's his last name. His first name is not Jeff.
Josh Allen.
Josh. Yeah, another J name. Blizzard seems to be losing a bunch of folks. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with a lot of like the goings on at Blizzard, right? Like the lawsuits and things like that have come out. So, it sucks to see Jeff go, but wish him the best in at least the future, I guess we could say. But yeah, that is old Mr. Hamilton. Moving on. The other thing that happened this week, sort of randomly from a hotfix perspective, is the, how do you say, your little friend in Zerath Mortis, they started dropping all the customization items this week. So if you're wondering where you were at to get like a customized body, some interesting like
I had gotten like arm guards. One of these. Like I don't know if the drop rates were just awful or what. But I had one of these. I got which one did I get? I think I got the one from the world boss, maybe.
Okay. I know that the hats were dropping.
Okay, so, yeah, the hats were dropping.
Yeah, the little things you could put on the head. But yeah, no, there was now they've dropped all the customizations, and then there's like an item or there's a thing you can interact with in the cave, underground cave in Zerath Mortis that lets you sort of gives you UI to change everything. It's now you can customize your coop that you have out for the 15 minutes you do dailies, right? If you're still doing dailies,
because I'm definitely not. I have spent more time in Zerath Mortis the past couple days than I have in a while because I hadn't done the campaign of my paladin, and it turns out that it's an insane source of renown.
Yeah, it's like very good.
Every chapter gives like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not just the first one, which is, I knew the first one was insane, but like, I was at Renown 50 in Necrolord after doing some Torghast. I was like, this should be enough to, between the Necrolord campaign and the Zerath Mortis campaign, I should hit 80. So I just went and started the Zerath Mortis campaign. I'm now Renown 75 with 2 chapters left to go, and I haven't even touched the Necrolord campaign.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, so it's a huge source of renown, but now you get a little customized little buddy to follow you around. So there's some cool stuff in there. The other thing, more of a maybe a downer versus an upper here, is that Tea Master, which was one of the professional Chinese guilds, they were Chinese first world, or the, sorry, they were second this tier. They were first in Sanctum, world 6th this tier. They disbanded. So Tea Master is no longer supporting or sort of sponsoring the guild, which is interesting. There's a bunch of, WoWhead did a big post about it. There's a bunch of clips coming from different things, different points where a lot of infighting, you could say.
I'm going to say if you really want to know about Team Aster, you should go and read the WoWhead post because there's a bunch of drama in that guild. And there's a lot going on there.
Tons of things, but they essentially disbanded the entire team. So they're not keeping anybody. I think Aster just literally pulled out of supporting it. So, their setup though, at least for, I think last year, was awesome looking, in terms of like the arena they put everybody in. But, this tier, or I guess this tier, maybe a slightly disappointing getting second. And then also, they are no longer, so
yeah,
sucks for them.
Reading that post is something though. You like, I'm not saying you should definitely go read it, but if you are curious, you should just read it. I don't think we should recap it here. I don't think we'll
exactly
justice.
No, there's a lot of stuff going on, the other, I guess the other sort of news, the fun post is a bunch of the world first guilds tweeted out exactly how much they spent this tier. Which is again gone up since Sanctum, but varying levels. So Liquid spent about 723 million gold. Echo spent 694. SK Pieces about 670, and then Method and BGG lower at 480 and 300, so 293. So lots of gold being spent by the top two guilds, and probably inflated slightly just based on a lot of the trading they did for tier, which probably pushed that number up, but. Yeah, 73 million gold, which is a massive amount. And then I guess Jintang Hong, which is one of the Chinese guilds, spent 1.1 billion gold, which it's tough to... I think the Chinese market is slightly inflated. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to... That one, if you look at the value in... Like somebody converted it using the US token prices, and it's like obviously insane if you do that. But the token price in China is significantly different. So it's actually a much more reasonable amount. It's more in line with like the SK Pieces Echo amount of gold than the almost double it looks like if you actually have like that amount of gold.
Exactly. Yeah.
Valoris posted a breakdown of their expenditure, and it's like 245 million on just the gear trading. That's not BOEs. They then spent another 215 million on BOEs.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Like I have to imagine that something is going to change for next tier. Like if they're going to want to do tier sets again, the community reception, despite the stuff with the world first race, despite some of the acquisition issues, despite Creation Catalyst coming out about 4 weeks too late, is very positive around tier sets. Like tier sets are good. They're good. They're fun. They're interesting. They're just good. So they're going to want to keep doing them. I 100% believe. I just I can't envision them not doing something to change acquisition after this tier. Like they tried to make this, like if you remember the lore leak that we talked about where they were like, we made this change so that you guys won't have to split. And then the Raiders go, but wait, this means we just have to split more. And of course they did. They just split more. I can't imagine them doing something like either walking that back, changing something about acquisition, Creation Catalyst coming out sooner, you know, something to deal with that.
Yeah. And my personal opinion on this is that like the world first guilds will always do some degenerate stuff to get as much gear as possible. So I think like from a Blizzard perspective, like regardless of the system they put in place, like
they should not tune it around those people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing too is like while this the idea before and I was talking to somebody about this, but the idea before was, you know, you'd have raiders like in the guild have like 7-8 characters, right? And like that was the bar that you needed to like make sure you would have enough people to run splits and do gear. But with the focus on like the publicity around the world first race, you no longer need raiders to have 7-8 characters. You just need them to have maybe 2 or 3 to cover some bad luck, and then you just source from the community all your traits. Yeah. Like all your splits are now like community focused.
You basically pay gold to get people to funnel.
Exactly. Versus making your raiders maintain 8-9 characters, right? To do the same thing. So, I mean, it's a ton of gold. I think the gold numbers just will continue to go up. It'll be sort of a little bit of an arms race. Yeah. And then, you know, I guess the idea will be like it'll just be like the next degenerate thing that they do to get as much gear as possible. It'll cost them a bunch of gold, probably more than this tier. And it'll be something we like maybe not have realized. It's definitely going to suck for the race, I'll say, in terms of viewership, which I know Blizzard isn't too concerned with, but it's going to suck from a viewership perspective if, like, Mythic Week, the first 2 days are nothing but heroic and normal splits, right? Again. Like, that just that just kills hype for it, right? So,
And, like, when I say I can't envision them not doing something to change it, in my perspective, it is I see them doing something to change it to make it better for more casual players, because like the extra rules around trading tier were actually pretty frustrating, where like people would have their 4-piece and then get a 5th piece that was an eye level downgrade that they then also couldn't trade, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't need it to equip their 4-piece. Like they already had 4-piece, but then they also couldn't give it to somebody who needed it for their 4-piece, you know? So that actually is what resulted in my guild or my raid team doing some small splits last reset, where we literally like did two runs or three runs. I think it was 2 runs of the last 3 bosses on normal so that we could guarantee a couple people to get their tier sets. And it's just like, do we necessarily need to do that? No, we could have just benched those players. But
right,
like, we could spend an hour doing splits and not have to bench people based on who had their tier sets, you know, 7 weeks into the tier.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Make it a little bit better. No, for sure. So, I mean, we'll see what they change from that, from a gearing perspective, but yeah, it's the World First Guild spent a lot of gold in terms of like, yeah, trying to gear that up. So, so cool. So let's, we'll shift gears slightly on some other new topics. So a couple of things popped up on the 9.2.5 PTR. So in this week's build, there's a couple of items around empowering raid items, basically. So basically things you can use. And so it essentially, it reads like there's an upgrade to mythic, an upgrade to heroic type items that look to take a piece of gear and will upgrade it to either mythic level or heroic level. And they require like 20 items to create the item that you then use to upgrade the gear. So it'll be interesting to see how this system sort of plays out. If it's just a typical, like, you kill like 20 heroic bosses or whatever it is, you kill a bunch of heroic bosses and get the ability to upgrade a normal item to heroic, or is it that you kill a bunch of heroic bosses and you get the ability to upgrade a heroic item to mythic? Because it, like, the WoWhead post insinuates that like the heroic stuff will just like you'll get in heroic and you'll upgrade gear to heroic. In my mind, it would be more interesting if this was a system to help smooth the transition from heroic into mythic by like allowing you to gain mythic level gear from the raid.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think it does a couple things. So for one thing, like, it does what you said right there, where like smooths the transition where you get heroic gear, you use these to turn your heroic gear into mythic gear. It also does this thing where when you start extending on mythic, it means you can still get mythic eye level items that aren't just from the Great Vault, because you can continue to run heroic and collect these things. Maybe, well, this is speculation that they even drop from heroic. Like, it,
exactly,
it's speculation, but it's it seems pretty likely to me. They've done that so many times where they drop like a currency thing that you use for upgrades from raid bosses. You would use that to then like be able to continue to get mythic items despite not actually clearing mythic, because you're extending on, you know, mythic Sylvanas or mythic Jailer or whatever.
Right.
And then the third thing it does is it actually kind of partially addresses the issue with the cantrip weapons and things like that, where now instead of needing to get a, like, I had two heroic Painsmith weapons. If this had existed, I could have upgraded those into mythic Painsmith weapons. Without, like, we got a few, we ultimately ended up getting, I think, 5 Painsmith weapons total.
Right.
And we needed to, like, fully equip everybody that would use a mythic Painsmith weapon. We would have put them on, we would have needed, like, 10 or 12.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting 0 of them. So.
Oh, it sucks.
Yep. But this would have helped with that. And it also helped with things like we got 1 or 2 mythic Maledict opuses from Kel'Thuzad. We had a bunch of heroic ones that you know, are just useless because they're lower eye level than the regular mythic weapons. But if you could take that and then use this to turn it into a mythic one, you know, that's big game right there. So there's a few different like things with this that I think are pretty exciting. And I 100% prefer this. This is better than Titan Forging.
No, I agree too. Yeah, I agree. Even if this was like the new Titan Forging where like you could upgrade specific, like,
yeah. I mean, I was talking a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, what were you gonna say?
I was talking with some people recently about Titan Forging and things like that. And I was like, if we had something literally like this system that we're talking about, that existed that let us basically like deterministically pick something to Titan Forge. And they put Titan Forging back in. That would be fine with me as well. And like, I don't think Titan Forging is a necessary part of it. I actually would kind of just prefer they left it out. But having this deterministic thing to be like, yeah, I'm going to Titan Forge this piece. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, and I think as always, like, people will look back at like the badge vendors, right? From Sunwell and BC and stuff like that. It's like that sort of like ability to close holes in your gearing is always a nice thing. like, even if you have to grind it out, even if it's like you get one of these per week, so it's like if there's 20, you need 20, it's like 3 weeks of grinding, like something like that, right? If you're not going to clear the whole raid, like that's fine as long as like you can slowly build up to like this, right? Like you have an endpoint, you can reach it, right? Where in the current system, like in the Titan Forging system, it's like, well, you might get it or you might not. So it might be like a 3 week thing of like, hey, I get really lucky, everything Titan Forges, we're good. Or it might be a like 3-6 month thing. Yeah. Or a never thing, right? Where you just never get what you need. So I'm always, I'm a fan of these systems as long as they're used, like, as long as it's not a like, hey, in 2 weeks, you have everything you need. Like, I think there needs, like, a system like this needs to have a long tail, needs to be something that takes, like, months
this is
and months
very,
and months to...
very straightforwardly, like a straightforward, easy to understand, visible bad luck protection system.
Yeah.
This is something, well, I mean, that's one of its roles. Like, it's that in the sense that, you know, if you never get your mythic weapon, now you can turn your heroic weapon into a mythic weapon eventually. And that's, that's what we want. It's also interesting as a, like, there's been a bunch of systems that they've had in place to be like, well, even if you don't get loot from the boss, you still get something from the boss, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like in Legion and BFA, you got AP. Like, it was a pitiful amount of AP, so I don't think it really served that role very well. So, like, when you're getting less than a world quest amount of AP from killing a raid boss, that doesn't really feel like you're getting something.
No.
And then, of course, in Legion, just so much, and to a lesser extent, BFA, so much gear dropped that you were pretty likely to get something from every raid, not every raid boss, but every couple raid bosses that you killed. The problem is that most of it was useless, so it didn't really feel like you were getting something. It did make it easier to get things that, like the special weapons and trinkets. You might not get a high eye level one, but you would get one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, so it'll be, I'd like to see the system more fleshed out. Like I said, I think this was just been data mined. So all we know are the items, right? We don't know any of the implementation, how it's going to drop, how you use it. But yeah, at least speculatively, it seems very interesting. So, so cool. The other thing on 9.2.5 is Blizzard did do a post on Renown catch-ups. So basically they upgraded the item, the bind on account item that automatically grants you it. Today it'll grant you 40. In 9.2.5, it'll grant you Renown 60. Which is basically opening up every soul bind slot across all three soul binds at 60. The only thing you're missing from there to 80 is the empowered slots. That's nice. They also discussed too that essentially certain activities will now be 100% drop rate of one renowned per upon completion. So this is actually the biggest change, and I'm super excited about this. So like it's in Mythic Plus dungeons, so they're guaranteed. Torghast layers 9 through 16, so the higher stuff guaranteed. Defeating raid bosses is guaranteed, and then winning a raided battleground is guaranteed. So doing those activities, you now guarantee one renown, which means you can basically time it out. Like,
yeah,
spam a bunch of plus twos if you want very quickly, get a bunch of renowned, or just, to be fair, play the game.
Yeah, I mean, renowned. So the nice thing about it being 60 instead of 40 is now you get your capstone ability without having to do anything, really. You, like, you pick your covenant, you go and get your BOA item, you go to 60, you go fill out your tree, and that's it. You're done. Because it's 58, I think, for the maximum, like the third Soulbind's final trait.
Yep.
And that means that now you can just go run 15s. Like, you don't need the extra 20 renown to go run 15s or whatever. So you can just then start playing the game and accrue the rest of the renown while you're playing it.
Exactly. Yep.
It does also mean, so the Covenant campaign gives, I think it's 18 renown total if you do the whole thing. After the like buffs, so every chapter gives like 2 renown now, I think.
Okay.
And that gets you to 78 right there.
Oh, yeah, and then you just need 2 extra things to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you wanted, you could like do the boost, then go do the Covenant campaign, even if you've already done like the Xerath Mortis campaign, which, like I mentioned before, is like insane renown
game.
And be up at, you know, done with your renown.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, at least, and especially for the final patch, right? Like, being at the final patch, just get everybody everything as quickly as possible, right? I understand you can't just, like, have an item that says, hey, here's 80 renowned. Like, you want people to play the game a little bit.
I think they could. I think
they could, but I think, you got to play the game. I feel like there's still the whole idea of like, you got to play the game a little bit, right?
Yeah. This does, it unlocks most of the player power from Renown just right up front, which I think is the important part. Exactly. There's some mounts and things from the last 20 levels that you would get then from doing more with that Covenant, which is fine. There's the stamina things that are actually kind of sneaky good that.
Oh, yeah. The stamina gains. Yeah. That's like 3% per, right?
It's more like 5 or 7%.
Oh, really? Is it that high? I didn't realize. I thought it was
pretty sure it's that high. Okay. I mean, I can pull it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure it's that high. It's pretty big. Like, I'm taking my paladin up to 78 because the last two renown levels for every covenant are just cosmetic stuff in the title.
Yeah.
But the other stuff is, I think, like 7% stamina. So let me find it. Maybe it's not even listed on here.
I forget what the buff is called.
Yeah, they may not have listed it on here. They've got what's Deepening Bond is the name of it.
Yeah.
Doing Wowhead searches live on streaming, except I'm not actually streaming it. It is 10%. Oh, okay. Sorry. Rank 5 is 10%. So maybe it's 2% per level and it ranks up. So maybe it's not that big.
Gotcha.
Because there's like 5 ranks of the ability, it looks like. Yeah, okay. It's 2% per rank. So the tooltip's actually bad because I was thinking it was like 10% extra for getting the last one. But gotcha. So it's like 2% per, but 10% total. So you going from 60 to 80 is going to take you from basically 6% to 10%. So it's an extra 4%, which is not that bad. Like you don't need the extra 4% stamina. Like, let's be real. You don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to make or break it.
It's very nice that they're adding this. This is going to be, like, you can just swap to a new covenant, plug in the BOA item, and just go raid, go do dungeons, go do PvP, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be definitely be fun to catch up on some alts, actually play some alts maybe in 902.5. So, well, cool. Well, and then I guess the only other final thing before we get into the creation catalyst topic is just they did a bunch of hot fixes to the game this week. So I'm going to rapid fire some of these just in terms of the key ones. So in terms of the raid, they did a bunch of fixes into just like things that were broken. So a couple of fixes to like Anduin items, Anduin pieces not working correctly. They made some updates to the jailer, basically reduced his health by 5% on Mythic, but then also fixed the Mirrors of Torment issue that allowed basically guilds to stop him from healing at the end of the fight going into phase 4. And so a lot of it, no real numbers other than the 5% on Mythic Jailer, no real other numbers tuning from a boss perspective this week. So a lot of it was just like fixing issues in terms of like how the encounters were working, which is cool. So it seems like we're in a little bit of a lull. And then they did make a couple of changes to some of the classes. So I guess for Windwalker, they basically buffed a lot of Windwalker's single target damage. So Rising Sun Kick, Blackout Kick, Tiger Palm, and Fist of the White Tiger all received 10% damage increases.
According to Babs, this is about a 4% single target damage increase, which is not sufficient for them to be really competitive in a single target environment. I mean, it's something, step one, they need a step two and a step three probably, but it's a step one.
Yeah. Yeah. So some nice, maybe not nice, but buffs to Windwalker, whether they're great or not, I think is up to, maybe not up for debate, but and the other thing too, just so we're all on Druid, Guardian Druid, 4-piece watch, they reduced the healing and damage of their 4-piece again this week.
I feel little bit bad for them at this point.
I do.
Like, I feel like they died. There are tiers that died for Twitch because of Twitch clips, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was still good. It died. All right, two things: Twitch clips and Holy Priests. Yeah. like Holy Priest plus in dungeons, letting them use Inkarn plus their Venthyr ability way, way, way more often.
Oh, yeah.
But then for like regular people just doing it, like this, the screenshots and things that you see are from Inkarn plus Ravenous Frenzy in a big pull, which are both 3-minute cooldowns that you just stack with each other and you do crazy things. Right. But then outside of that 3-minute cooldown, you know, you're not doing a ton. It's like taking a screenshot of a protection paladin's damage right as Ashen Hallow ends.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Of course it's going to be insane. It's a 4-minute cooldown. The next 3 minutes, their damage does this.
Yeah, it just drops. Yeah. Just dies. Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah. Well, I mean, their 4-piece is so good. Like, let's not get it.
Yeah.
Get it backwards. The 4-piece is so good, but this nerf also, unlike the previous one, this nerf also impacts their single target, and their single target was not stellar. So exactly. Now it is less.
Yep.
even
lower.
Yeah, and in an environment where now the Blood DK tier set got bug fixes right as release was happening and went from being like a 25% gain to literally almost doubling Blood DK damage.
Oh Jesus, I didn't realize it was that good.
There's a Pau is playing Frost DK right now. He's a DPS DK main for now. Uh-huh. And he got tapped to tank this week and did some sims. And if you turn off his 4-piece, but keep all the other gear the same, like he goes from 8-point-something K DPS without it on to like 15K DPS with it on. So it's like an 85% DPS increase.
That's crazy.
On single target. That's
crazy.
we'll see if that one sticks around. But... we got some other changes. Fire Mage got buffs, which is a little bit like in the context of Windwalker getting buffs, so there's not this good. Fire Mage get buffs so that Mage has 3 good specs while Windwalker is still lackluster is kind of tilting.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, yeah.
Retribution Paladin got some buffs, and they got their Seraphim Duration from the 4-piece buffed again because it was still annoying as hell.
Yeah.
It went from 3 seconds to 4 seconds. So maybe now you can actually reliably fit a spell into it without like copious weak auras to make sure you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a couple other fixes, including Demonology Warlock nerfs.
Good. Screw those guys. I guess the only final hot fix for this week is Blizzard took a massive swing at 2 of the Tazavesh dungeons. So second boss, or is it the second boss? Captain or Time Captain Hooktail, the pirate dragon, received a bunch of nerfs to both the adds, the effect of his double time is now reduced. And then the overall hooked damage when you get damage has been reduced. So that fight nerfed slightly. That's the only annoying fight in that dungeon. It's
toxic with like I once ran basically a quintuple melee comp because we had a melee healer and 3 melee DPS and a Mia Forces tank, and that fight was awful.
Oh, I can just imagine. It's terrible.
Absolutely terrible. And this doesn't really fix that at all. What it does do is it makes it a little bit less punishing if you miss some of the Corsairs with the breath.
Yeah.
And it makes it less likely, like it increases the key level you need to reach to one shot people with the tail swipe.
Right, which is super annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But and then they absolutely trash can Streets of Wonder. The dungeon's actually a joke now. It's one of the easiest keys, at least on
Fire. Yeah, they've reduced damage of like I think almost every major trash mob in there.
Like
at least 20%.
I'm gonna rapid fire this. So armored overseer health reduced by 20%. Male elementals 25% health reduction. Male elementals haste zone now lasts 50% longer. Carrying goods in the market section, you can use abilities now, which basically means that you can actually like pick it up and then cast sprint instead of having to cast sprint and then pick it up. Then hyperlight salvo damage reduced by 20%. Reduce the number of bolts per hyperlight salvo. Hyperlight Bolt damage reduced by 20%. Quick Blade damage reduced by 40%.
Yeah.
These are pretty significant nerfs.
To the trash everywhere, yeah. Yeah, which is...
And there's actually, awesome. I think... then, of course, total enemy forces required to complete the dungeon has been reduced. Which is... maybe underselling it. Because they reduced it from 330 enemy forces to 290, which is a bit over 10%.
No, that's not too bad.
And they did like this because they removed some trash. Oh, but right, you didn't pull everything anyway. So this just means you have to do slightly less than 90% of the trash that you would have before, which of course makes the key significantly easier to time.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so no, there is lots of nerfs there. So, well, cool. Any other the hotfix? Those are, I think, the main ones this week in terms of hotfix. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to cover.
I think that's pretty much it. Actually, one extremely important one in the raid. They nerfed Reflecting Shield.
Oh, did they?
They did. It's actually very funny. So they reduce the damage from it, which basically doesn't matter because the thing that killed people was getting 50 triggers of it at the same time because if they had a blizzard or an I-beam going out. And right. Then they made certain spells not trigger it, like Frozen Orb and Blizzard, but they didn't fix I-beam. So if one goes off while a DH is like finishing their I-beam, they just die.
That's awesome. That's still good, man. DHs, they have enough cooldowns, they can live through it.
Yeah. So that was fun. Our mages no longer instantly die whenever Reflecting Shield goes up. So that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I've killed myself once or twice with Spinning Crane Kick on those. So that's hopefully they've fixed it for us. Well, cool. Well, then I think we're then ready to transition to the main topic, which is Creation Catalyst. So I'll give a little bit of an intro and then I guess I'm also sort of add anything I missed, but basically this week coming up on Tuesday, the Creation Catalyst will open up, which, essentially allows you to craft, tier items, by eating or deconstructing, another item from either the raid this season of Mythic Plus or PvP. And basically the idea would be is you spend flux, to destroy a non-tier piece, and it will create a tier piece in the same slot. The tier piece will transition any tertiaries, any sockets, things like that across. However, the stats will be static to whatever the tier piece is. And so each tier piece has a set of stats. And the fun thing is that there are actually, so you think of your five tier pieces that trigger your tier bonus. So helm, shoulders, chest, gloves, and legs. However, you'll be able to create other tier items that don't contribute to your tier bonus. So
yeah.
Cloaks, bracers, boots, and belts. You can use with the creation catalyst to create a new item.
Which I think that's mostly for transmog purposes. Like it lets you complete the raid transmog basically with Mythic Plus gear. Because other than that, the only reason you would do it is to change the secondaries on your gear. Which seems good. Like... I mean, but you can only do, you get one per week, basically, which, so let's actually get into that. The way that this works is you pay, there's a charge that accrues globally. So like for the entire world, every reset, a charge gets added to the creation catalyst for each character. If your character doesn't exist, no problem. You create your character 5 weeks from now, you have five charges. You can immediately go and take some dungeon items and put them in there and have your four piece done, which is fantastic. The other cost is cosmic flux. So to actually create a tier item, gloves and shoulders cost 1200, chests, helm, and legs cost 1500. The reason for the higher cost is those three slots have a higher stat budget. But that's it. That's all you need. And cosmic flux is basically free. If you clear the raid, you're going to have probably 1,200 or 1,500 from just a single clear of the raid. So what this does is basically every single week, if you just, you know, do some dungeons, do the raid, whatever, you're going to get a tier piece. If you come in on an alt, like my DK has zero tier pieces, I'm going to start, you know, just picking up tier items from the creation catalyst, and I'll have four piece in on that, you know, in a month. Yeah. I have a normal piece on my monk. I think it's normal chest, which is like pretty bad to have as a normal eye level piece, because it's very, like, it's a lot of stats on there to give up almost 30 eye levels on. So I'm going to immediately go on Tuesday and turn that into a, you know, 278 chest.
Yeah, I get to, so I'm really excited about this, because on Tuesday I get to do something similar, but it lets me recraft legendaries.
Yes.
So I can move a legendary from my ring to my helm, add a tier chest piece, which is the one piece I'm not wearing of tier, at mythic at 278, and then have, use a perfectly, a very good statted ring, mythic ring. So yeah, I mean, I think
that's the other thing that this does is very good, where like you can take your, sorry.
No, I was gonna say, like, it lets you shift gear around. I was just making a hand motion for about what you're about to say.
it's just a, like, we got a bunch of people asking with the, you know, raid release, where do I craft my legendary? You know, do I put it on gloves or do I put it on helm? And it's like, neither. You put it on the belt and you move your unity to somewhere else.
Exactly.
And that's not optimal at this point anymore. Once you can fix up your tier pieces with the creation catalyst, probably what you end up doing is you move your Stormstout's last keg for brewmasters to like helm, and then put unity on another slot. Or actually, you might leave it on belt and then move unity to another high budget slot, like the chest piece. Because basically you're trying to maximize the number of stats you get, and also ideally replace one of the pieces with bad stats from the tier. But yeah, this is several weeks later than I think it should have come out, but it's a great system.
So, and I would say that it came out at a very good time. So like,
really? Okay.
And yeah. And so here, so I think that's going to be the point. I think in general, everyone's going to say this is actually a really good system in terms of like catching up mechanics and things like that. And I think a lot of people, like the issue most people are going to have with it is the timing, meaning like this would have been great to have week two or week three when like I really wanted to finish my tier set and I watched my guildmates or like other people have four piece right before me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what this system was made for, right? Like I think this system at a very high level is a form of bad luck protection, but I think its actual primary purpose was to allow you to jump in with an alt and immediately feel useful or powerful, right? Because that's going
to
be...
I think that's like, valid, but you have to think about it as well. By the time you can actually jump in and immediately have four piece, we're going to be 3 months into the patch because it comes out week eight. Then you need four charges, so it's going to take another 4 weeks or 3 weeks. So we're going to be on week 11 at the point at which you can actually do that. And I feel like that's a little late. I do think that the bad luck protection thing, like maybe it could have done something as well where like they released it if 11 weeks is what they wanted for the alt thing, they could have released it earlier, you know, on week six, and then made it so you get one charge gap, and then one charge every week after that, and like adjusted it slightly so that basically my thing is part of the bad luck protection on this is trying to address the kind of long tail of people that haven't gotten their tier sets yet. You know, most people completed their tier sets 2 weeks ago in a guild like ours. And we had under 10% of our raid that didn't have their four pieces yet. Well, actually it was almost exactly 10% of our raid that didn't have their four pieces yet. In order to guarantee that with the way the loot rules work and the tokens work, we did splits, and I think that's a problem. That is a issue with the tuning of the tier sets, with the tuning of the timing of Creation Catalyst. Where, like, if Creation Catalyst had come out last week, our frustration with it wouldn't have reached the point that we said, okay, fuck it, we're going to do splits. And we didn't do a ton. We did one split run effectively, but it happened at all, I think, is a problem.
Yeah, and I would say that my only counterpoint to that is like you and I are in guilds that want to push Mythic, which is like not what I think this is for. Right. That's so like the fair. Idea, like the idea is that this is to me for the type of player that either pugs heroic every week, right? Or like the LFR person who's just doing LFR and wants to be able to experience four piece. Cause like from a mythic, like just from a mythic guild, like from a mythic raider perspective, like this isn't what you're going to use to get your four piece because you would have done something previous to this to make sure you pushed four piece. Like we saved alts on heroic tier bosses so that like if we need to kill a specific tier boss, we have an alt that's at each one. Right. And so like if only people need gloves, we will just take the glove off. Go to Lahive, kill them, and that's it. So like that's not what this is meant for at all. And I think timing wise, what it allows is it allows the system to be used, I think, or maybe, and this is we're sort of speculating, but it allows the system to be used not as a mandatory thing for you and I to have, but as something to help support the larger, I guess, player base. So the player base that isn't doing some of this weird stuff in Mythic. Because like to me, I don't think this isn't a main thing. And I mentioned the alt thing, but like the idea too is if I ever play an alt and I want to use this, I'm not just gonna wait 4 weeks and then immediately get four piece. I'm gonna probably do LFR, probably do normal, and then if I get three piece from doing that, great, I automatically have four piece. So if I have bad luck on an alt, it makes missing not feel as bad as missing on my main, right? Like, and I didn't miss that bad on my main, so I don't have to go through that same sort of like going 3, 4, 5 weeks of like killing bosses not trying to finish my four pieces. You know what I mean?
I do think so. There's the element of frustration, I think, that this could have helped mitigate that it didn't because of the timing. Yeah. Because it came out after, you know, we did all the stuff that we did in order to get the last two player tier pieces. It missed the opportunity to make tier sets as a system less frustrating for mains as well as alts. Like, it could have done both. Mains didn't need to be able to make four pieces, right? Mains needed to be able to make one piece. So that's the kind of thing where, like, if it had come out and you could make a singular piece, you know, week 4 or week 6, and then the rest of it kind of unfolds and later on other people like alts and things can make the rest of their multiple tier pieces that they need. Yeah. I think that's fine, but it could have helped mitigate some of the frustrations with tier set acquisition, but because of the timing, it didn't do that. And if they don't want it to do that, then I guess that's, you know, in line with the design intent, but I would question that design intent when there's this opportunity available for it to accomplish something good in addition to its existing role that then isn't taken advantage of.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that part of it. It's just to me, like this is the way that it presented itself, it was never a system I'd ever think about using on a main, which is why I think the timing makes sense. Because at this point, if you have raided and killed the tier bosses you could every week, at least on some difficulty, right? You will have had your war piece, right? Like I'm assuming like the bell curve here is a very small percentage.
So,
right?
So we have 4 people actively raiding on the Warcraft Logs, like development team. There's me, Josh, aka Yax, Zephyrus. It's Garrett, and then Cat Scratches in Discord, and I have 2 4 pieces. Cat has a 4 piece. Neither Josh nor Garrett have a 4 piece at all, and we've all raided the whole patch.
Yeah.
And like I only got a 4 piece on my paladin this week by pure luck because I was doing a normal run. Like I've run normal on my paladin every week, and I've gotten 2 mythic pieces from the vault, and then had another piece traded to me from a main that came to our alt run this week to try and fish for a better tier set setup. So it's like I actually feel like this is timed to where people that haven't raided as much, like this is going to be used for mains. There are mains that don't have 4 piece from guilds that aren't as serious about acquiring 4 pieces for everybody. And it's also like heroic guilds and things like that that weren't clearing heroic or maybe even all of normal away are going to be finishing up their four pieces with this, you know, 2 months into the patch.
Yeah.
The second thing that I think this kind of missed on, and this is actually, in my opinion, more related to the tuning of four pieces being too high, you know, 25-35% increases to your power are just too high for this.
Right.
I think. If you go and you look at the LFG tool, you look at 15 keys and you'll see people, you know, asking for people that have four piece.
Yeah.
You don't need four piece to complete a 15. You know, I just did a 19 on my DK that's I level 255 and zero piece. You know, it's entirely possible to do these keys without that. But because of the pug environment and how punishing it is to like miss timer with people just like leaving, if there's even a you know, medium chance of you missing the timer, people are like, okay, we're going to guarantee that we at least complete this key by requiring everybody have four piece, which then has the effect that now it's much harder for you to get your keys in if you're not in a guild that will run keys with you if you don't have four piece, because it's going to be harder to get invites. And so I think there's like several different pieces, and like, I think it does ultimately boil down to the power level. Like if the power level were 10% instead of 25, or in the case of Blood Decay is 85%, you know, then I don't think it would be as frustrating to not have your four piece. You know, it's a lower delta. We would never sit somebody for not having their four piece in that environment. You know, people might still ask for it in LFG, but it would be much less frequent, much less like mandatory. But then since they did tune it like that, I feel like in order to mitigate the frustrations from not having it, it should have, the creation catalyst should have been available slightly sooner. I don't think it should have been available, you know, week two of the patch or whatever. That's just like, there's other acquisition systems that are actually from, you know, doing the content and progressing through getting your four piece. You're not supposed to jump straight to having your four piece. It kind of.
You gotta put in the time. You gotta work for it, right? Before they just give it to you. Yeah. And I mean, I get that. I just from a timing perspective, I don't know. We're not that far into this
we're
season.
Over two months into the patch.
Yeah, but this is on a, so we're on a, essentially what it looks to be a 6 month cycle, right? So like 6 to 9 month cycle. So
I don't think the length of the patch itself is super relevant, given that actually a lot of people aren't going to play the whole thing.
Well, now they are, because they want to get their four piece, right?
I don't think they are. Like, the people, I think it is more likely that people have already quit because they couldn't get their four piece and they couldn't get into keys because they didn't have their four piece, than for them to stick around because creation headless means that they could complete it, you know, the next week.
I guess there's fundamentally like two different points of view on it. Cause like,
that's an opinion and speculation thing, right? Like, I have no data to back that up. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Cause like, to me, I guess just in the grand scheme of things, like in terms of where you'd place this then though, like if, so we're at what, week 11, right? This is what this is coming out. So we've had,
no, yes, maybe. I don't even know anymore.
The patch came out
the first February. Week of March, right? Or the last week of February.
The 22nd of February. So it's like,
okay,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's been 7 full weeks of the patch. Basically, this is the start of week 8.
So it'll be week 8 that it comes out, right?
Yeah. So like 2 months in, basically. So I was overestimated. I thought it was, so to me, like if you move this anywhere, right? Like you'd want to, moving it any sooner to me just feels like you, at least personally, like there's the idea of like, well, I don't, like I can just farm up 3 piece from the first 3 bosses and then make my 3rd one. Because if this is like in week 4.
I don't think that's a problem. Well, yeah, okay.
Like if it like depend, like because you move this to week 4, that's 1 week of heroic, like really only 2 weeks of having every tier piece available. Right.
I don't think that that's so. Actually, I think having the last 2 tier pieces only available from week 2 onwards was also part of the problem here, because it meant you So there's a combinatorics problem. It's not like an acquisition rate problem in theory, but because of the combinatorics of like which pieces you get lucky on, which pieces you don't, it basically added a bunch of extra time to average acquisition that wouldn't have been added if you could get all four pieces the first week. Because, you know, that first week, maybe you don't get, you know, as it is now, you can't get helm or chest on that first week. But that also means that you can't, like, you only have three shots at that tier piece. You could get gloves and you know, legs. But then the next week, you have chances at those again, but not the other two. Like, so it's harder to finish your four piece because you have to effectively have one of those two pieces, but you didn't have a chance for it the first week. And actually, due to tuning, you might not have had a chance in the second week either.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm on board that missing on loot sucks, but I think the only thing I'm not on board with is that, like, you get so many chances, like, you have so many chances at getting your tier piece just in general that, like, making your four piece, if you are the type of player that really gets frustrated when you don't have it, there's enough ways to finish your four piece in the game that the creation catalyst should be should be the last resort in terms of, I mean, like, boom, I can guarantee. Because, like, to be fair, creation catalyst is a guaranteed four. Like, it's a guaranteed piece. Like, there's no
I think they needed,
you need to jump through.
I think they needed, like, a guaranteed piece sooner in the tier. Because we had people that were very serious about acquiring their four pieces. You know, people turning down best in slot Mythic Plus items in their vault in order to take a tier piece that then still had to have us basically do splits for them in order to finish their four pieces. And that, you know,
I guess
the guaranteed, the guaranteed way to get it was to run splits. You could guarantee it from week two if you ran, or basically from week two, if you ran splits. If you ran splits, you could do it, but nobody outside the top guilds realistically is running splits. Even when I say we ran splits, you know, we ran heroic and saved a bunch of people saved a bunch of people to the bosses. So that we actually had a comp that could kill them, and then brought in 10 people that could trade normal mystic helm and chest. And that way we could guarantee, you know, or it was 8 people plus the 2 people that needed those two slots. So that we could guarantee that we could finish those off. And so it was one extra run of those two bosses for us. But that's like exploiting personal loot effectively. Like, that shouldn't be the way that you do it.
Yeah, like, but if personal loot, I guess I guess my only point there, and this is more not the game's fault, but it's not fault's the wrong word, but it's not the game that does this. It's us as players wanting to ensure that as a guild, all of our guild members are on equal ground, right? So like, in the grand scheme of things, you ran splits because, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, so you can tell me to shut up, like, and you don't agree, but like, the idea is you ran it for these two particular individuals because you knew if push came to shove, you're going to sit them on bosses because you want people with four pieces.
We had already sat them on bosses.
Yeah, so you've already done that. Yeah. So, and that's why you went and did this, where, like, to me, the creation catalyst doesn't, like, it's the same issue at, like, this is again, like, a top guild thing. Like, it's the same issue as splits in general aren't a thing the general population do, because we don't care, like, we don't need to have everything funneled within 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
For the creation catalyst, to me, again, I think it's just from a system perspective. Like, it's one of those things where, like, people take the idea of, like, oh, you need four piece to do. To me, it's like, it's so, the same idea of, like, you need four piece to do a 15.
There's versus, some, I do think that there's, like, if you're like 15s, as the example I used earlier, that's purely a community problem. You don't need four pieces to do 15s. I was doing 15s week one with zero piece and like sanctum gear and stuff like that. Like, you don't need it. But the way they tune bosses in Mythic, like, doing it without four pieces, like, why? Why would you even waste your time? Why would you bring in someone?
If you have the ability to change, if you have the ability to add a person, basically swap a person with four piece, then a person without it. Yeah, I agree. But like,
which is what happened with us. We had three people. Yeah. We had three people that didn't have four piece. One was me, so we couldn't bench me because I'm the fucking tank. Yeah. And we then had a hunter and a boomkin, actually two boomkins, but one of them was out of town when we were doing this, and then lucked into a four piece from their vault anyway, so good on them. But then we had benched the hunter, benched the boomkin, because they didn't have four piece for Zymox. And it was like, well, we want to have the people with four, like four hunter in particular, the role they play on that fight to go over to the far platforms and kill the adds. In order to do that really effectively, they need four piece. And if they don't have it, then, you know, we basically sat, you know, one of our best players to bring in somebody else, also a hunter, that had four piece so they could kill it. And that's not, you know, a knock on the person that had four piece, but ideally we would have run all three of our hunters and just had them go and like trivialize that mechanic. But we couldn't, you know.
So I guess then timing wise, so if we say week 8, it's unlocking now, which you're saying is too late. Like, what is, how early would you have unlocked this then?
I would have gone week 6.
So 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I would have gone week 6. That would have, so we still have, like, we have a Resto Shaman that we didn't run splits for because they technically have four piece and they're like, I can use a different legendary. But to run their really actually best legendary, they have to get five piece because the four pieces they got, their best legendary is in two tier slots, which is like an interaction with the legendary system, which hopefully won't be a problem next expansion.
Yeah, Shadow Priest, I think, have the same issue.
Yeah.
Right. Or Priest too, yeah.
But that would have eliminated the, like, we would have had all of our four pieces that week, but it wouldn't, most of our raid wouldn't have needed it. 85% of our raid 2 weeks ago had four piece. The last 15% was missing one single piece. And, you know, we did raid that week. We didn't, we were like, we'll get it. It'll be fine. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get it. We went from 85% complete to 90% complete because the tokens just dropped for actually literally like all of our dreadful tokens on the boss were done. We got two dreadful tokens from that boss that week. Yeah. And it was like, well, are we going to bench all of our warlocks and DKs and whatever else is on that token? I think it's like Demon Hunters or something. And just like bench all of them so that we can guarantee tier pieces. Was that like, it was correct, but like, that's a like kind of shitty thing to do.
No,
And so that's the point where it's, we ran into this brick wall with the trading rules where like the combination of tokens, the combination of not being able to trade tier pieces you don't need but don't have yet, we kind of ran into that brick wall where we were getting a bunch of pieces that went to waste.
Right.
And then that motivated us to come back the next week and just do splits because we were like, well, we obviously can't bet on the tier pieces dropping for the tokens that can actually trade them. We have to take matters into our own hands and do this. And the creation catalyst, if it had been out that week, would have just said like, yeah, you don't have to worry about doing splits or anything like that. You can just run heroic again. And then everybody that's still missing it can go use creation catalyst. And
yeah. Kind of create them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess that's fair. I mean, I'd say like the different, like to me, the difference between week 6 and week 8 over the long term isn't a huge issue because like, the other thing too, is like you're as a raider on your main, you're going to interact with the system generally maybe once. Right. So like the fact that you need it once over the course of it, that's the other, I guess, aspect from my point of view is that like this isn't something that you will like you will come back to multiple times. Like you're not going to like every 2 weeks. Great. We have a charge for the creation catalyst and I'm going to use it on a piece of gear. Right. Like maybe you'll
to like fix up my tier piece. Right. There.
Well, exactly. Well,
that's like in recraft, that's going to be like interaction with it. Right. Like you said.
Yeah. But
one interaction.
And that's sort of a in the future thing. So like I'm going to definitely use my first charge because I can swap things around, make them, you know, change where my legendary is crafted on, all that fun stuff. But like after that on my monk, like the only other time I'm going to interact with it is if I get a mythic piece from like my vault that I then want to change into a mythic tier piece.
Which actually like, I've got three of those right now that I can
I think I can turn
normal items into mythic ones.
Yeah, I think I have legs and a chest. So I have two. So the chest will be what I do first and then potentially legs a little bit later. But I mean that's cool, but also I don't need that to like finish. Like that's my thing is like
I think the big thing for me is just like cutting off that last 10-15% of people that didn't get four piece. And like obviously that we had 15% left of the raid that needed it going into the raid. only 5% of it came out actually completing it. And then we got another, we didn't get anything from the vault that week. It was awful. Just an absolute shit fiesta of bad RNG. And that's the kind of thing that I think having a deterministic system like the Creation Catalyst available at that point in time helps resolve.
Yeah, and I agree that that is one thing it does. I think the only thing I disagree with is, like, I think we have enough systems in the game that give out enough loot that this is just one thing I don't think we needed earlier. I think it's nice where it's coming in.
So thinking back to Corruption, like, we got the Corruption vendor like 6 months into the patch. It was awful, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously way too late. But the level of power gain we're dealing with now is like early tier Corruption. And it would have been incredible to be able to take some of the variants out of that system and say, I'm going to deterministically go and pick, a Twilight dev piece from the Corruption Catalyst or whatever.
I think the only difference I have there is that, like, the difference between Corruption and tier pieces is Corruption, you needed two sets of RNG. You needed it on a piece you actually cared about equipping, you needed the right Corruption to proc, right? In certain cases, like Twilight Dev, like, I think you'd wear cloth bracers with Twilight Dev as a tank because it was ridiculous. But so power levels on discounting those, the idea with the vendor for Corruption perspective.
We still have people wearing LFR pieces, LFR tier pieces, because...
Right, but
like, you weren't... They would wear LFR cloth pieces if they had the ability to wear LFR tier cloth pieces and complete their tier set.
But like in that regard, they weren't, like, you weren't having to kill a specific boss and then hit two pieces of RNG to nail. Because Corruption was that sort of second piece of RNG. It was like, you needed an item and you needed to proc exactly what you wanted. The vendor made sense there because it eliminated the idea of like, oh, I got this Corruption piece, but it's like the haste. It's more haste. It sucks. Like, I don't care about this. Like, I want this good one. And like, needed to limit like the fact that RNG was all over the place with, in terms of gear drops with Corruption. But like in the case of tier, essentially to me, it's like very much a an easy button in terms of like, I haven't hit in 8 weeks, right, on what I needed. So, or I've hit I've hit 75% of the time on what I needed in 8 weeks. So here's my easy button of saying, cool, I win now. Right.
I am generally of the opinion that the variance in loot is not, like, I'm going to say too high. It's too high, but it's too high not because of the average case. The average case, I think, is fine. The average case for us was completing your tier piece around week 5. That's doing nothing special, no splits, no benching people, nothing. Like, the only thing we did is we said you have to get 2 items in your vault that aren't from raid, and if you get a tier piece in your vault, you have to take it. That was all we did. And the average case was fine. My issue is, and this applies also to stuff like the special weapons and trinkets that we've talked about before, is the gap between the average case and, the 99th percentile of bad black, of being the last person in your raid. It's now week 8. You haven't gotten 4-piece yet, but you're looking at people that have had 4-piece since week 3. And that's the point where the variance is just too big, in my opinion. And this also applies to things like, the weapons from last year, where we had people running around with, normal Sylvanas daggers for most of the tier and things like that. That having a deterministic system in place helps mitigate the variance. And that is really, like, the Creation Catalyst is going to do that. For a lot of guilds, not ours because we finished ours, but for a lot of guilds, it's going to be that piece that helps fix that variance. But it doesn't go far enough and this is purely opinion, like me and you are probably just going to disagree on this. Purely opinion on what it is. But it is just not going quite far enough to limit the variance, in my opinion. It needs to go, it needs to come out a little bit sooner. You need to cut the variance off a little bit earlier. And that would have been just strictly better, in my opinion. Like, there wouldn't really have been a downside to it. Most of our people wouldn't have needed it in order to finish their tier piece. Again, not doing anything special, just doing normal and heroic clears, just doing, you know, taking tier pieces from the vault. There's really nothing special there. And it would have meant that, you know, we never entered a situation where we benched somebody on Mythic Prog because they didn't have a four piece. The other way they could have gone is they could have just had four pieces not be 25% damage gains.
Yeah, but
if
I think
the four pieces weren't so insane, then it wouldn't have mattered. We would have, like, because we would have still brought those people in spite of them not having four piece, because they're just good. They're good at the game. So that's the other thing, is like, it's a combination. It's a variance, not purely an acquisition. It's a variance in power level, right?
Yeah.
Between not having it and having it. And that, I think, it needs a little more fine tuning. And so if it were like, you know, week 8 would have been fine if it were 10% instead of 25%. But because it's 25%, I feel like the creation catalyst needed to be sooner. But then, you know, if they bring it sooner and it's 10%, that's not necessary, you know. So there's different ways they could resolve this. And the one that keeps the current tuning of tier sets would have been to have the creation catalyst sooner, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think, I guess it's just like the acquisition to me, like this feels, it feels to me, I think sort of balancing all of it too, if you think about it, like to me, it feels good where it is just timing wise, because like, this is where you're going to hit wall. Like, the first couple of weeks, you're like, to me, the creation catalyst helps you fill those gaps from a gear perspective. And at this point, you've probably hit some level of a wall, or will hit some level of a wall, where having more optimal gear will be helpful. And like, adding it any sooner to me, maybe my point is the opposite, where like, it's actually very cheap to do this. So like, if they wanted it earlier, make the actual requirements to use it higher. Meaning like, not only it didn't take a laughable amount of cosmic flux just to transmute an item, like maybe it took like two items of that slot and you needed both of their power plus flux to make, you know, the tier set, right? Because that's the other side of it too, is like, I just can't go over the fact that this is literally a like I win button, and like there's no, like, you are going to, like, if you did everything you could to get your tier sets, you're going to have copious amounts of extra gear to transmute into whatever tier set you want, right? So like, the idea is like, to me, it's, if it was sooner, it just cheapened the work you would put in to get to your tier set if it was just this easy. And that's the whole balance thing too of it, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't think we have to get into it, because I think personally, like, you and I just don't agree. I mean, which is fine. But
I think that it should have my litmus test is, did this come out soon enough that we, as a relatively normal Mythic guild, felt it was unnecessary to do anything special about loot? If the answer is no, like it was this year, it came out too late. If the answer is yes, then it came out on time or too early. Like, and that's where, like, I think week 6 would have moved it to being on time by that litmus test. Because it didn't come out week 6, then week 7, we turned around and we did like splits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I get it. I think, for us, that's the other thing too, like from a personal just experience perspective, like we never needed to. Like, we got our last Shadow Priest gloves like last week without doing splits, like doing our heroic run that we did. So like, for us, it was, we didn't have a raider that had to interact with it. And like, to me, just thinking about this, like, it just seems like, to me, I just don't think the system was meant to be, it's just too easy. Like, I can't get over the fact that it's too easy to use. Like, too easy, not to use, I'm sorry, but too easy from a requirements perspective to get tier, that it being any earlier, just, I don't know. It just seems like it.
And
I just have an issue with I have an issue with the cost. It was earlier, I think it's my problem, is that like you would have to put more work in.
I mean, it's still like, you're not going to get a mythic eye level tier piece from a, you know, an LFR piece plus some cosmic flux, right? You have to actually get the mythic eye level piece, which is time gated either by getting into the Great Vault or by actually getting it from a mythic raid boss, right? Like,
right.
To get a good eye level one, you still, you know, need to get a good eye level piece in the first place. It's just like, the other thing maybe is like, I see four pieces a feature of the patch is like the chase. Like there's some fun in the chase for four piece and like the excitement that comes from getting a piece that drops. It's like, ah, yes, I got the piece. It turned on my four piece. But like, there's a point where the excitement turns to frustration where you don't get it.
And that's probably just a fundamental difference. And I know we're well over time now because we probably got to end it here. But like, I don't get frustrated over not getting, like, I don't, yeah, I guess the frustration of not getting something is just because I've played this game for so long is just a, it's just a part of the game to me. Like, if you don't get frustrated by not getting loot drops, you're not really, you haven't played World of Warcraft enough.
I don't think it's frustration over not getting loot drops per se, because like there's not a single piece of gear that we would have benched somebody over not getting prior to this. But because it basically turns on, you know, a feature of the patch, you know, you now are in a situation where, oh, these three people don't have the feature of the patch turned on. You know, they can't do this mythic boss. Or, you know, we're effectively going to carry them through the mythic boss because they're just going to do 25% less than the next person.
Yeah, and I get that part of it, but that's, there has always been, like, tier pieces are the feature of the patch, but there has always been items like that. Well, maybe it's not 25% of your damage.
No, there hasn't been. Their category has not always been pieces like that. The last case that would have been similar would have been legendaries in Nighthold. Because there was tier sets in Nighthold, but they were in that like 5 to 10% gain, like tier, not the 25% gain. The real not getting your key legendary.
Well, what I meant is like there's always going to be a item like, and yeah, I mean you're bringing in the power aspect of it. Like my point is more the acquisition side of it, right? Because like I think. The power aspect of it was never like a thing with me. It's always like there's an eventual point where you will get what you need. And there are just certain items you may not get, even though they're very good for you.
Yeah.
And I get your point of view that like tier sets being a feature, tier sets being so powerful, like it like gem,
yeah,
like
I mean,
the
there's
shards
like,
were the other side of that, right?
Yeah.
That suck. But I guess, I know we're well over time. And we're probably just going in circles at this point.
Yeah, and it's ultimately, I think, just a disagreement between us, between like what the goals are and what the like problems are on a fundamental level. But
I think it's as simple as saying like I don't see the fact that people not getting their tier yet. I don't see the creation catalyst as a system to support your main in terms of finishing your tier sets. Like to me, like that's not what the creation catalyst was about for me. It was the ability to maybe adjust existing gear to support like this, or for alts to not have to put as much work in and feel as frustrated. Where I think you're more of the point of saying like, there are still going to be edge cases that the creation of catalyst could have smoothed and made it an easier experience for someone's first time through trying to acquire piece and things like that.
If we had not run splits last week, we would be using creation catalyst to finish one or two people's tier sets off this week or this coming week.
Right. Yeah.
That's just how it would have worked out.
Which is, and to your point, that's why you wanted it sooner, right? Because you feel like as your guild, doing splits should not be something you do. And also the creation catalyst, there should be a system from a Blizzard perspective that helps eliminate those edge case frustration points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know what would have addressed the issue that we ran into where we had a bunch of like useless token drops? Master loot.
Well, maybe.
We ran, you know, Liavim, and we got a couple of Zenith gloves, which I needed to finish my four piece. And then we were on people that didn't have gloves yet, but they had their four piece, and they're like, "I'm not using this, but I can't trade it."
Yeah, yeah.
Mastery fixes that.
I think that's all of the conversation.
We are already over time. We're not getting into it. There's issues with Master Loot. It doesn't solve every problem. We've spent time on it in previous podcasts. If you want to hear more about that, you can go listen to our previous podcast because it's come up a couple times recently. So you can go back through like episodes like 100 through 105 and get plenty of talk about Master Loot. All right. Yeah. One final thing before we wrap up, I want to ask you, okay, so what are you recrafting to improve your tier setup with the creation catalyst?
Yeah. So basically what I'm going to end up doing is I have a mythic chest, a 278 chest that I'm going to craft into a tier piece. And that's going to allow me to change my normal helm to Unity essentially. So I'll recraft Unity from ring to helm. And then basically I have a crit haste ring that I'll be to equip where Unity is now.
So is that like a theoretically BIS Mistweaver setup, or is it like a gear in my bags, this is the best setup?
No, theoretically BIS. So at the end of the day, as a Mistweaver, you want to craft Unity on helm and you want to craft your other ancient teachings on wrist. So like it helps me support that setup. Yeah.
Gotcha.
For sure. Yeah. So yeah, the start is always like we were able to, you put Unity on ring for us, from Mistweaver perspective, because it dodges tier. So get your four piece however you can, and then at a later time, make the swap, and I'll be able to make
it. I've got Unity on ring right now because when I went to craft Unity, the base legendary items were like 3 bajillion gold, and rings happened to be cheapest, so I just went with ring. Which also worked out because I ended up not getting good rings anyway, so it was fine. Which means I may not even recraft Unity next week. Like I'm going to upgrade a tier item, but I may not even bother recrafting Unity because I still don't have a second good high eye level ring to put on.
Yeah, I got lucky. I think the ring was from Mythic Plus somewhere. I forget what dungeon. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I got lucky on pulling the Mythic ring. But yeah, it just sort of lets me swap, get rid of a normal piece. It'll be a massive eye level upgrade and then still keep four piece, which will be good. So
yeah, awesome. Awesome. I don't know what the theoretical best for Brewmaster is anymore.
It's too variable. Like that's the other thing. Yeah. Abyss lists are so stupid nowadays.
I actually really hope, I don't know what raid bots is going to have for creation catalyst. Maybe that's something we talk about next week is like, here's how you in raid bots figure out what's your best way to use creation catalyst. That might've been a thing for today, but it doesn't have, like, you can use gear compare right now. You can go in gear compare, you can type in the name of the tier piece, you can put the eye level in, and you can do a big sim and figure it out, which is actually probably what I'll do. But there's not like an easy way to be like, click this button, put all the different creation catalyst options I have in here and optimize, you know, hey, what do I spend my charge on this week?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or is it even worth spending my charge, or should I just sit on it?
Just bank them for now. So,
Yeah, but we are now 10 minutes past when we're supposed to end.
Longest podcast in a while.
But that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and you enjoy me and Anomaly arguing ad infinitum about things that really don't matter all that much, you can support it by going over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/PikaSerenity. And that, of course, also supports all the work that we do over on the site with guides. There's a couple of recent posts on there for Brewmasters on like, you know, hey, what should I take from my vault? And I'll probably put something up about using creation catalyst as well. And then there's one I'm working on for what the tier set actually does.
Nice. Nice.
And of course, we'd encourage you to come and join our Discord. The PikaSerenity Discord is, you know, for everybody. Come and hang out in the lounge, ask questions, answer questions, get people to look at your logs. Lots of good people doing good things in the Discord. But that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.